Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. Mississippi State will take on Texas for the third time in 3 years. Let's get a look at the spring over there in Austin with Joe Cook from InsideTexas.com. Before we start with anything else, though, we were talking about this the other day on Sports Talk Mississippi, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Did the SEC really flub it by not getting Arch Manning to Oxford for one game? Like, I promise you Mississippi State fans would be more than happy to not play Texas this year. We could have switched that out and sent him. Doesn't that just feel like a flub?
Yeah, I think that's one that I think I like storylines like that. I remember the Mississippi State game last year. It kind of dawned on me late, like, oh, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. His family's been doing this for a little while in the stadium. At the same time, Texas has never been to Tennessee. They have to go there this year. Mm-hmm. They've not played in Baton Rouge, I think, since like the 60s to play LSU. And then, of course, they have to play Oklahoma and Dallas, have to play A&M, have to play Arkansas. So I would have liked to have seen that. Especially would have been a lot more interesting had Lane Kiffin stayed, but a little bit different now. But, you know, you'll still see the whole – I'm sure that'll be a big storyline entering that week. All the Mannings will be in town, and maybe even Eli as well, to see what's going on with his nephew and playing his alma mater.
Well, let's talk about his nephew then, Arch Manning. I think we would all agree, didn't have the best start to the season and got better as the season went along. I thought maybe his game here in Starkville was where the light really turned on from that great comeback win. What's the next level for Arch Manning? What, you know, when you think about what he has to improve on, where does he need to get there?
Yeah, he has to avoid those stumbles. You know, that early season where he had a good, not great game against Ohio State, terrible game against UTEP, even things out in the rest of the non-conference. And then struggled against Florida, against Kentucky in the first half against Oklahoma. And then, you know, it took them turning on the gas late against Mississippi State for them to get going. And a lot of it had to do with what was going on around him. Left guard was a sieve last year for Texas. They did not create a really respectable run game at all. So in addition to his own problems, getting sped up, missing, you know, some easier throws, and, you know, taking a few more hits than he should have. Remember, he ended that Mississippi State game with a concussion. It didn't knock him out of any extended action, but it knocked him out of overtime. I think what he needs to improve on is just not being sped up. And I think everything around him is going to help him do that. The fact that Texas really went after the offensive line and the transfer portal, probably brought in one starter, maybe brought in another. They're not going to be starting a true freshman there like they did for some of the games last year. And then, you know, he's just got to be him. It was revealed, I think, by an On3 article from Chris Lowe that he played through all the 2025 season with a bit of a bum foot. And, you know, he's not going to make any excuses about that. Texas certainly didn't, because that was just now revealed in the spring. But you could tell by the end of the year, not only with his runs against Texas A&M, but also with his run against Michigan, that there was just, you know, something going on there. He just needs to be able to use the pieces around him, be able to, you know, throw to talented guys like Cam Coleman, like Ryan Wingo. And I think the influx of a good run game with some good portal running backs and offensive linemen is going to help just the entire ecosystem get just improved as far as the offense goes.
You mentioned the transfer for the running back position, and two big time names there coming to Austin: Hollywood Smothers and Relique Brown. Is that going to be a duo? They're going to split things up, or do you think one guy could step up and be the lead back?
I think they'll split things up. Both those guys are probably best suited for outside zone, which we've seen Texas really emphasize over the course of the past couple of years. Smothers, had some, and they're probably going to be more explosive than the running backs Texas had last year with Trey Wisner and CJ Baxter. Raelique Brown was kind of thrust into a workhorse back role at Arizona State because of some injuries, not only at that position, but to, Sam Leavitt at quarterback. And he wore it well. He had 1,000 yards. I think he's going to be able to split carries, and running backs seem to like that now. Keep some tread on the tires. I would also keep an eye on Derek Cooper, a true freshman out of the Miami area. He's probably going to get some carries as well, and then Arch's legs present a factor too. So there's going to be a run game is something that they attack not only again with the offensive line, but by trying to improve the talent at the position. And Brown and Smothers should help in that regard by just adding a little bit more explosiveness to the offense.
What was the position battle this spring that you kept the closest eye on?
Really, it's probably the left guard spot. And unfortunately, one of the participants was Lawrence Seymour, who transferred in from Western Kentucky. One outlet had a second had him as a second team All-American last year. He didn't get to participate in spring just because he was finishing up his degree. But again, that one position ruined portions of Texas season. And it's odd to say that at 9-3, but when the expectations are that high and you don't make the playoff, it really was a struggle. So they have Seymour there. They also have some experienced guys like Jaden Chatman. By bringing in Melvin Sinai from Wake Forest at right tackle, they're going to move Brandon Baker, who was last year's right tackle, into guard. So that kind of takes care of one spot. They're replacing a sixth-round pick there. But the other spot, that left guard, is going to be one to really watch because left tackle is going to be Trevor Goosby. Center is going to be Connor Robertson, most likely. Then you got Baker and Sinai there on the right side. That left guard, and it could be Chapman, it could be Seymour, it could be somebody else that they've had in the program recovering from injury, and Andre Kodjoe. Like, there are a lot of different, there are at least some multiple options there to try to make things a little bit better. They're probably not going to need a freshman savior, but that's the key spot. And because Seymour wasn't there, it's hard to really grade what that position looked like. And also a redshirt freshman in Jordan Coleman could factor in because he was playing a lot of left tackle this spring with Goosby limited. So that's the spot to watch. And I could, because I feel like most of it's settled, not 100%, especially here on in May. But I feel like that's the spot that is going to be the point of emphasis for Texas fans and inside the program too.
When you look at Texas defensively last year, the first 7 weeks they didn't give up more than 29 points in a game. Then they went 4 straight weeks giving up 30 or more. Now they were able to get 3 wins in that because their offense was good enough. But depth-wise, how do you feel about this Texas defense?
I feel great pretty much everywhere. Linebacker is a little thinner than I think they would like, but there's still some high-end talent there. Those 30-point struggles, a lot of it had to do with just that safety room getting hit. Michael Taft had to miss a couple of games, and then at a certain point, Jelani McDonald went out. Those were your two starters. You had to rely on some redshirt and true freshmen that hadn't been proven, and they got caught plenty over the course of that season. That late run, especially in that Georgia game, and then late against Vanderbilt, which was a wild game, but still, you're giving up points. It's going to be a new look with Will Muschamp. Some changes there, but there's a lot of edge talent. Colin Simmons and Lance Jackson, maybe one of the more formidable duos in the country. They have some experience coming back at D tackle with Hero Canoe and Alex January. They added Ian Griffard from the portal, and he's listed at about 390 pounds, so he's big there.
Little guy,
They
okay.
lose they lose Ty or excuse me they lose Anthony Hill to the draft, but Ty Anthony Smith returns. Rasheem Biles was a big add from the portal out of Pitt, and then in the secondary they lose Malik Muhammad to the draft and Michael Taft. But Jelani McDonald had a big year, and they're excited for what he's going to provide. They had Cade Phillips as a freshman last year come on toward the end and play really well. Same with Grayson Littleton, who started basically all last year. And then they added a couple of they added a portal cornerback in Bo Masco from Rutgers, who has drawn a lot of positive reviews. So that top line of the defense, I think, is going to be strong. It is year one of a new system, and I think there may be some changes and growing pains there. Linebacker is a spot just because I'm not exactly sure what that second team is going to look like. They may rely a little bit on Justin Crier from Florida State, from the Houston area, but from Florida State to man some of those second string snaps. And then deep safety, I think, in the second string is something they may have moved, or the, excuse me, they moved a corner and Kobe Black over there to maybe help with that problem. Depth is always going to be a little bit of a concern in the portal era just because guys don't like sitting. But they have a good amount of guys who have been in the program for a couple of years and are learning a new defense just like everybody else. But there's confidence that there may be some more aggression from that defense, especially with Muschamp running things.
So I always break down the top teams as there's playoff contenders and then there's championship contenders. What is Texas this year?
I think they're a championship contender. I think the expectations with Arch Manning at quarterback, with all the portal activity Texas did, they have a number one class that's entering their second year on campus. I think that there are a lot of fans who want to see Sarkisian not only get to the semifinals again, but get past it and prove that he can get past the coaches like Ryan Day, Kirby Smart, even Kalen DeBoer, who he has not beaten in his career at Texas. And only Ryan Day is officially on the schedule because Texas plays Ohio State in week two. But he's lost the last two to them, both in the playoff after the 2024 season and to start the 25 season. Lost to DeBoer twice when he was at Washington. Has not gotten over the Kirby Smart hump. And again, there aren't very many coaches who have winning records against those guys. But if Texas wants to contend for a title and get to that point, well, they're going to have to get through either one of those teams or teams that look like them. And I think the desire for Texas fans and I think the efforts from the program have been to get the Longhorns there. And, you know, I think playing for a national championship this season.
All right, last question for you is the same last question I've asked everybody who's done these previews. Obviously, the final game of the season for Texas is against Texas A&M. Other than, well, you beat Texas A&M again, what are you going to be saying about the team at the end of that game?
Hopefully I'm booking a trip to Atlanta. I think that's where Texas wants to be. I don't think they want to be on the bubble again like they were this past season. That was just I felt like even though 9-3 and 10-2 from various teams aren't created equal, you could kind of tell that the committee was trending toward valuing 10-2 over 9-3, and you know Texas still was ahead of a couple 10-2 teams, including one from the SEC. It just beat that team in Vanderbilt. I think after that game, Texas wants to know it's a playoff lock, be in the top five or so of the rankings, and then see where who they may be matching up with in Atlanta in order to try and secure maybe one of those top four seeds and get a game off instead of having to deal with the first round.
I lied. I got one more question. Does Texas value the SEC championship game a little differently because it's something they've never won? You know, I think there's been a lot of talk of canceling championship games, and I've had some people from the Ole Miss perspective, they've been in the playoff, and they're like, they're fine missing the championship game. It gives them extra preparation. Does Texas value that a little bit more because it's a trophy they don't have?
I think so. I think they'd like to come in and say within their first 3 years in the league that they won the league, and there aren't very many teams in the past decade or so that can say they've won the league. It's I think you can count them on three fingers or something like that. So, you know, if they can break into a club that is Georgia, Alabama, LSU, and I think that's just about it. Like they want to, that'd be a point of pride. But I do think that just college football fans in general have kind of taken the conference tournament approach to all this. You know, do you want to tax your legs? Do you want to tax your arms right before you go and play in the real championship tournament? I see both sides of it, but I do think Texas values that. And of course, the risk reward is you do get the chance to have a week off and or maybe a little bit more than a week off and wait to see who your opponent is. There's some, you know, we don't know the pure utility of that quite yet because we've seen teams that play the first round advance a little bit further. But I do think that Texas would like to have that, but it's not the be-all and end-all. They want to be playing for it all in late January.
Joe Cook, Inside Texas, man. Always great stuff. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.